would you bow your head and close your eyes? I don't want you to see me. I don't want you to see this board. I don't want you to see this pulpit or nothing. I want you to see something in your mind. Now, bear with me. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to that old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, thank you. You can look up here now. Don't do that. I want to ask you a question. Paul, in Ephesians chapter 1, prayed for those people, and he prayed a specific prayer, and I'm praying for every one of you right now tonight. The eyes of your understanding, verse 7, Ephesians 1, look at it. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Did you see that cross in your mind? You see this old rugged cross I got up here? It's rugged looking. But you know what took place on that cross. If you've been here since Friday night, there ain't a mumbling soul in here that don't know what happened at that cross. Then, and I want to tell you, it ain't just that he died. The religious world knows that Jesus Christ died on the cross. They know that he was put in a tomb. They know he was resurrected, but they do not understand that it was for me he died. He died my place. I'm like Paul in what he said there in Galatians chapter 2. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I'm the sorry, low-downest thing. When he died, I still am right now. And you know what? God ain't quit loving me. And I know every one of y'all in here probably got children. And I know most every one of you has got children, have spanked them at one time or another. But you didn't stop loving them, did you? There may be some of them out there getting in trouble right now, but you don't stop loving them, do you? God Almighty will never stop loving you. He proved that by letting his son die for you. If you will, turn with me into 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians. Now listen, there's been enough preaching to save Gunnersville up here this weekend if they would just come in here. You know, I think about those dumb old Galatians that were idol worshipers. And there's Paul going all over in the synagogues preaching the gospel of Christ. Them old dumb Galatians, they could have come in where Paul was and got saved. Those people out yonder could come in here and get saved. God Almighty knows where you're at tonight. He knowed you would be here. Oh, he knew you would be. I apologize. I destroyed the English. I'm not like Troy. I ain't got the foggiest idea what Greek and Hebrew is. I ain't learned English yet. So, I feel sorry for anybody that comes to me for English because I destroy it. I went to school. I did graduate. But when it came to English, I could not understand all that stuff. In the year I went into high school, they come up with a program they called CORE, C-O-R-E. what it was for people like me that didn't like English and history. They combined it together, and we just played games for 2 hours. Had a good time. We had a good time. So don't worry about if I pronounce the English language wrong. You just bear with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. We then are as workers. Now listen. A worker has to be somebody that not only reads the 1611 King James Bible, but he has to study the 1611 King James Bible. And you don't have to be a worker to read and study it. But a worker must do so. We then, as workers together with him, well, how are you going to work together with God if you ain't in agreement with him? It's like, I think it was Jerry Lockhart talked about all speak the same thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Well, if there was not a way for us to all speak the same thing, why did God tell us to do so? Well, we need to study. We are a worker together with God. What is God's will for today? Is God's will for me to tell you how to build an ark? Because there may be a flood of coming. Ain't that in God's word? Ain't that the truth that he told Noah? I almost said Moses. Ain't that the truth that he told Noah to build an ark? Well, what about what he told Peter? He said, Peter, go and preach to all the world. Preach the gospel of the kingdom. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Ain't that the truth of the word of God? Isn't that in your Bible? Haven't we all been, most of us, I thank God. Where's Mark Rumfeller? Mark Rumfeller said there wasn't anybody in here that wasn't, I think it was Mark, I may be wrong, that said there wasn't anybody in here that was not raised in a religious system as he was. I thank God, Mark, I wasn't. I know how hard-headed I am. I'm going to tell y'all something. I don't tell people too much about my life, but my wife has got my first grade report card. Now, that's kind of old. That's antique. And on that report card, the teacher wrote a little note on there. Said, Percy is a good little student, but he likes to argue. Boy, did the Lord nail me down. I don't call it arguing no more. I call it discussing the scriptures. But I was not raised in a religious system, and I thank God for that. I was raised in a grace church that believed Paul's epistles. It's kind of not rightly divided, but they did preach the gospel of Christ, and I was born and raised in Forest Park Bible Church, and I thank the Lord for what I learned there. I learned a lot there. But I thank God for Brother E.C. Moore and Jerry Lockhart and the rest of you preachers that have put time in with me and put up with me to teach me how to study my Bible. You know what the first thing that this man told me? I met him before I met Brother E.C. Moore. The first thing that man told me, he said, the first thing you got to do is believe it means what it says. That's part of the key to understanding it. Believe God means what he says. Now, verse 1, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. And I think about what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the gospel that he preached to you, by which you're saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. I believe there are millions of vain believers. You know, I think about Noah when he got in the ark. I had to stop and make sure I didn't get the wrong character in there. I think about Noah. When they come out of the flood, 8 people Can you imagine in your mind 8 people out of the millions of people that were on the earth, and only 8 people believed the truth of God? And people, they say, well, there wasn't many people back there. You ought to go back and study it. Them folks lived up to thousands of years old, beloved. Generation upon generation. 8 people. I bet you there's more than 8 people in here right now. If the rapture took place right now, you'd be sitting here and we'd be gone. You know why? Because of your pride. As I think it was Robbie tried to show you that your pride is stopping you from trusting Christ as your personal Savior. Or are you afraid what mama or daddy's going to say, because mom and daddy's in this system over here, and if I reject that, and mama's already dead, is mama in hell? Well, maybe mama might be in hell. Do you want to follow her to hell? You ought to check and see what God Almighty said in Mark chapter 9, in the flame where the worm dieth not. And you think about Luke chapter 16, the beggar died and the rich man died, and the rich man in hell told Abraham, said, send Lazarus over here that he can dip his finger, and I expect he'd have to go across that gulf. There was a big gulf between them. He'd dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. I am tormented in this flame. And you know that's not just for a day. It's not just for an hour. That's for eternity. Eternity. You don't want to spend eternity in hell, do you? I don't believe you do. If you are, you're a fool. I don't mind telling you that. You're foolish. You're gambling. You know what Romans 6:23 says? The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Wages, you know what you do when you gamble? Put wages down. If you're sitting here and you ain't saved, you're gambling with your eternal life. And God has provided every means this weekend for you to hear the gospel and trust Christ as your personal Savior, believing that when Christ died, it was for me he died. And every time I see that, or every time I hear a preacher preach that it was for me he died, there was an electrician at Scott Paper Company, where I worked for 31 and a half years, wore a white hard hat, rode a bicycle all over the mill to his jobs, and it had little white knobs on it, and he took a black indelible ink pen and wrote on there, it was for me he died. And you talk about a testimony, that man didn't even have to open his mouth. It was for me he died. And y'all have heard these lost believers' testimonies around here. Vain believers, yeah, they all over the world. They're all over the world. Y'all come in contact with them all the time. At work, at play, wherever you go, you run across them. Oh, yeah, I believe Jesus Christ died. Yeah, Catholics even believe that. But you know what else they believe? They believe you got to take that wafer to have Christ in them. Beloved, my Bible tells me when I trusted Christ as my personal Savior, Christ is in me. Paul said, in Philippians, well, turn to Philippians chapter 1, whole 2 Corinthians. Turn to Philippians chapter 1 with me. Verse 21. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Now, a lost man can't say that. You know that? You can't say that earnestly. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Because if you're not saved, that ain't gain. That's loss. Eternally separated from God Almighty that loved you just like you are and gave his son to die for you. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, in parentheses to catch our eye. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God is not obligated to send somebody to preach the gospel to y'all anymore. And you know, I look at these crowds, and I look at it like when I have to do a funeral and stuff. You know, I couldn't send an invitation out and got the same people back here again. Every single one of you are here for a reason. Most of you, if you're saved, you're here to be built up in the faith, that you be not tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. If you're here lost, God's got you here so you can hear the gospel. And he ain't obligated no more of heretic after the second and third admonition, reject. Titus chapter 3, check it out, what Paul told Titus. God has got you here today. Why? This is the day that you can be saved. You don't know whether you're going to be here tomorrow. You don't know whether you're going to be here tomorrow. I can't look at you and say, well, he'll be here, she'll be here, and we'll preach to him again next year. I can look around here and I know, and I'm not going to call no names, I can know a lot of faces that are not with us any longer. They've gone on to be with the Lord, those that we knew that were saved. That's a comfort. It's a comfort. Paul said, comfort with these words. Well, what? There ain't no comfort in being lost. That's turmoil. It's chaos. There's no settlement. There's no rest. There's no peace. When you lay down at night, and the last thing you do is lay your head on the pillow, if you use a pillow. I use two or three sometimes. What's the last thought that goes through your mind? Do you ever say, thank you, Lord, for saving me? If I don't wake up in the morning, I'll be with you. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. Listen, Paul has been there. Paul went to paradise. He heard things that he was not allowed to speak. And if we could get into the mind of Paul, and you can in Romans to Philemon, you can see what Paul saw. He saw something that is so more wonderful than that we can even imagine. You can't imagine the wonderful things that Paul saw. And I listened to Jesse Duplantis one time. Y'all watch Jesse? Y'all don't watch Jesse Duplantis? Oh, come on now. I do, because I like to laugh. I like a good laugh. He's a good comedian. I watched him one time. He said he went to heaven. He's walking around up yonder, and old Paul, he sees Paul sitting over there, and some of these other folks are sitting over yonder, and this big, beautiful flower bed there with all these beautiful flowers. St. Peter's taking him all around, and he said, I don't want to walk on these flowers. He said, oh, it won't hurt them. It won't hurt them. So he walked across him and said, didn't even leave a mark on him. He said, and I talked to old brother Paul, and he said, you know, Paul's still saying this, my gospel. I wanted to say, you're going to confess one day. You'll confess one day. Paul told you three times, my gospel. Romans 2:16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. God ain't going to judge you according to Peter's gospel. So if you're sitting here believing Peter is your apostle and that you got to follow Peter, I got news for you. God's going to judge you according to Paul's gospel. But wait a minute. If you ain't saved, you ain't going to the judgment seat of Christ. You know where you're going? The great white throne judgment. And you know, when I think about, and a lot of these preachers have exalted the King James Bible, and I believe every word in it, God knew it was there. In Psalms 12, he said in verse 7, Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And forever is still with us. So if God can't preserve his word, how can he save a low-down bunch of scoundrels like, well, I was going to say y'all, but I'm me, like me. You see, I believe God can do, and Jeremiah said, there ain't nothing too hard for me to do. And I pick up some of these new translations, and I deal with people. I dealt with a young girl the other day. She's engaged to a Church of God pastor. And I'm dealing with her on the sidewalk. I had the opportunity to spend with her about 2 hours. She went and got her Bible, got an NIV. I showed her all the lies in it, and she said, well, my fiance has been telling me I need to get a King James Bible. I said, well, wait a minute now. I said, don't go get no new King James. I said, it's got just the same amount of lies in it. I said, get you a 1611 King James Bible. And I talked to her for about 2 hours. And I convinced her and showed her a bunch of lies in it and changes in it. And she said, I'm going to have to do something. I said, yeah, you need to get you a good Bible. And she said she was. And I know where she's at. I know where she works. She goes to college and works in the afternoons. I'm going to go back and see her and check up on her again. And she claims to be saved. I asked her about her testimony, and she claims to know the Lord Jesus Christ as her personal Savior, but she's tossed to and fro. And that's why we workers work together with God through his word to try to establish the saints that they won't be tossed to and fro. Preach the gospel to lost people. Establish the believers in the truth. That's why 1 Timothy 2 verse 4 says what it does. God will have all men to be saved, comma, and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Salvation is first. Bible study is according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And that's what all these preachers have been trying to show you this whole weekend. How to enjoy your Bible. How to study your Bible into its fullest and get the benefit out of it. You know, it's like my wife cooks real good. My wife's too good a cook. That's what's the matter with me. But she cooks not real healthy. She ain't going to leave the bacon grease out. Cook a pot of greens on. Man, greens is good for you. But we're going to put some bacon juice in that thing. Got a big pot of lima beans. We're going to put them ham hocks in there. You know, you can do your cooking like you do your Bible. I can run back in Matthew and I say, yeah, boy, I really like that. I can handle that. I can handle that. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. Jesus Christ said, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. Well, I can handle that. Jerry, I'm sorry when me and you had trouble. So I can handle that. But you know what the next verse says? If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. And you find the example of that in Matthew chapter 18. About the man that wouldn't forgive the fellow. And put him in prison. Well, I forget which preacher it was that read the verse to you out of Colossians chapter 2 verse 13. He's forgive us some of our trespasses. Forgive me all of them, even the ones I'm going to commit on the way home tonight. Well, wait a minute, I ain't driving tonight. Hey, Lord, I'm free. I ain't driving tonight. I ain't going to get Jack in trouble again, but I'll tell you, 1 year I got him in trouble up here. I called, talked to Jack after the conference. I don't know when it was, a day or two or something, maybe a week, I don't know. I said, Jack, how'd the rest of the conference go? And he said, well, I didn't have no problem with nobody but you. And I'm only home and me? What did I do wrong? I made a mistake. There was a religious person here. And when I'm saying religious. And before I got through that night, I said, I wish y'all would do something for me. Pray that the highway patrolmen and the cops is all home in bed so I can get home a lot faster. And that offended that fella. And he went to Jack and said, was that fella serious? A preacher? You see, I am still a sinner, but I'm saved by grace. And I thank my Savior every day that I live also in His grace. Because if I didn't live in His grace, I wouldn't make it. I wouldn't make it. He'd have done zapped me out years ago. He wouldn't have put up with me as long as my wife is. I know that. He'd have zapped me out of here. One last thing. I don't know when I started and don't know when I'm supposed to quit. But one last thing. Go over to Ephesians chapter 1 with me. I don't want to take up too much of your time. I know I want to hear Brother Brian Sipes, and I know y'all do. He's probably got a whole lot more to tell you than I ever will have. And I appreciate all these preachers that have preached before me and those that y'all going to get to hear after I'm gone tonight. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. In whom, Christ, in whom you also trusted. After that you heard the gospel of the kingdom. Oh, what a minute. That ain't what it says. Y'all ought to be done jumped up and run out the door. Verse 13, in whom also after that you trusted. What did you do? You heard the word of truth. And there ain't nobody that ain't been here, unless you wasn't here Friday night or this morning, that you have heard the truth, and you can't deny that you have not heard the truth. You can go to the judgment seat of Christ and say, well, God, I didn't understand that. He didn't say that you had to understand it. He said you got to believe it. I had a friend of mine that I worked with around for years. It's Scott Paper. He used to come to the class. He's had a stroke, and I hadn't seen him in a while. He was hung up on Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. Make all men see the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. He'd come to class. He said, Percy, I can't make them believe that. I said, Joe. His name was Joe. I said, Joe, read the verse. Make all men see. It didn't say make them believe it, but I know how hard-headed I was about it. The man tried to make me see it, and I lied, but later on, God showed it to me, and there ain't nobody in here can take that away from me. You can preach all you want about everybody being the same and all the Gentiles in the covenants of promise, but you can't take that away from me. Because you know why? God showed it to me. The man over here tried to, he knows tonight, he don't never forget it. He got so mad at me, he was throwing them markers up in there, and he'd say, he'd start all over him. He said, you see that? I know, I don't see that. He's gritting his teeth. Jack, you just thought he was mean. He'd throw that thing up, and I had to get out of that home. Things was in disarray anyway. Not the class, but things around the home. There was a situation there, and I don't go into that. I finally told him, I said, I see that. I was lying like a dog. But I had to get out of there. I was backed up in a corner, and if you don't think you a lie, let somebody back you in the corner, and you a lie to get out of there, because I lied to get out of there that night. But I've told the man that I lied to him that night. Well, I wasn't no need not telling him. God knew I lied. God knew I didn't see it. But you know when I saw it? I was studying those who first trusted in Christ. They did things in the first six epistles that Paul wrote that I could not possibly do because Israel is Lo-Ammi and they ain't there. Well, I read 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1. Paul said, as I gave order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye on the first day of the week take up a collection for the poor saints at Jerusalem. And you read Romans 15, verse 27. It's their duty to do it because they've been made partakers of Israel's spiritual things. I can't do that. Where's Israel at for me to bless? I don't pay no attention to old Hagee. That's his problem out there in Texas. That's not my problem. Hagee wants you to send him some money so he can get them Jews home. God told me in Isaiah and in Jeremiah and other places in Hosea, he's going to get them home in his due time. The same as he told me, if you'll trust my son that he died for your sins, I'll seal you until the day of redemption. And regardless of when I go, I know where I'm going. Do you have that confidence? If you don't have that confidence, I hope the Holy Spirit makes you so miserable you can't hardly get out that door to get to your vehicle and get away from here. I hope the Holy Spirit convicts you and lets you see that you need a Savior. This is the day that God had you here for a purpose for you to hear the gospel of Christ, that you can be saved. I appreciate your time. Appreciate it.